praise him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
We have so much to praise God for tonight, and I personally just want to tell you how privileged and thankful I am to serve Christ alongside a group of people who have demonstrated that they will meet anywhere to hear God's voice, to hear his word, and to worship and praise him. It's been my privilege. I've appreciated your love and your support over the last 4 years. I also want to say how honored and privileged I am to be married to a wonderful man of God. It's wonderful to have a husband who will serve Christ in America, even in a raggedy tent. And I'm blessed to be his wife. So will you join me in prayer? Father, we thank you so much for what you've done. We thank you for where you've brought us from. And Lord, we ask that you would come and fill this place with your presence. We ask that your Holy Spirit would move amongst us. We ask that you would be glorified here tonight and from this day forward. We ask that your name would be proclaimed and that those who are lost would hear of you and find salvation for their souls. Lord, as we enter into a time of worship and praise, we pray that it would rise into your throne room, that we would be as sweet incense before you, that we would bless you, and that we would bring a smile to your face. We ask that you would be here with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I want to introduce you some good friends of mine. This is Jean-Luc Lajoie, carrying the guitar here. Yves Lajoie on the drums, and Dan Baker, who's their bass player. I go back, how many years? 10?
35 years.
Yeah. We forgot. 10, 11 years. We went to the School of Ministry together at Calvary Chapel of Albuquerque. And we actually even went to Europe together on a missions trip, and the cry would set up, draw a crowd, and then we'd preach the gospel to them in Yugoslavia, Hungary, and different areas. So I'm just so thankful they made it here on very short notice. So would you welcome the cry? They're going to lead us in worship.
Terry, that's awesome, man. 10 years ago, we were in those classes, just having a good time, learning about Jesus. And 14? Is it? Did you say 14 years ago? Let's all stand. We can worship Jesus for all the good things he has done. Amen?
Amen.
That was an awesome verse. We'll praise him for his mighty acts. It's all about what he's done. Amen. Not about what we do. But put your hands together tonight as we worship him. If you believe like me that the word of God is true, he says in his word that those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. Let's do that tonight. For as we wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Sing it out. Strength for us, we wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord, our God. You reign forever.
Our hope,
our hope, our strong name. The everlasting God, the everlasting God, you do not faint, you won't grow weary. We wait on you, Lord. Let's sing this again. Strength will rise. Sing it, church. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord, our God. Our hope, our strongest. close and near. You lift us up on the wings like eagles, Lord. We wait on you, Lord. Rejoice in your holy name, Lord. Hallelujah. Lift our voices and we sing, our God, you reign forever. Sing it. Our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. Our God, our God, you reign forever. Yes, you do. Our hope, strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. Yes, you are. You do not fade. You won't grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. Always comfort those who need. You lift us up all the wings like eagles, Lord. You are the everlasting God, Jesus, the everlasting God. You do not fail, you won't go weary, Lord. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on the wings like eagles. Oh, we wait for you, Lord. As we wait upon you, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord, we do. Jesus, Prince of Peace, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Lord, we worship you tonight in this place for the great things you have done, Lord. You're so awesome, Jesus. We pray tonight that you truly be glorified in our midst. Lord, we know your word says that the whole earth is filled with the glory of the Lord. So, Jesus, here we just want to sing to you with all of our hearts tonight. Mind, soul, and strength, Lord Jesus. This is all for you. Let's all put our hands together tonight. We're singing, all earth is filled with your glory. My heart is a fire burning. The fire deep within my soul. I'm slowing down, I'm growing cold. An unquenchable flame. Keep burning brighter. No higher love can be found, Lord. And as the fire is raging on, and as the fire is raging on, Lord, so your praise becomes my song, becomes my song. The whole earth is filled with your glory, Lord. Angels and men adore. Creation longs for words and song. May you be Lord, honored and glorified. Exalted and lifted high, Lord. Cause you at your feet lay my life. Oh Lord, I lay my life down. La 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 la. From the ends of the earth, from the ends of the earth to the heights of heaven, your glory, Lord, is far and wide. So history you ring on high. Oh, from the valley to the mountain summit. The power, Lord, knows no bounds. No higher love cannot be found. So let the universe select the universe proclaim your great power, Lord, and your great fame. And the whole earth is filled with your glory, Lord. Jesus and Manada. Oh Lord, creation looks for what and so may you be, Lord. Honor and glorify, exalted and lifted high, Lord. It's here I should feel it, my loud holder, the holder. Sing it out. It's filled with your glory, Lord. Mountains bow and oceans roar. Oh Lord, creation longs for what's in store. May you be always honored and glorified, exalted and left high. Oh, just hear how you feel it, oh, of my life, Lord. Yes, Lord, we want to sing it to you again, Jesus. As we know the whole earth is filled with the glory of the Lord. Lord, we are looking so much forward to see what you have in store for us. So Lord, may we sing this to you and to you alone. Sing it out. The whole earth is filled with your glory, Lord. Angels and men adore. Creation longs to work since dawn. May you be honored and glorified. Exalted and lift high, yes, Lord. When you're at your feet, lay my life, the whole earth, the whole earth, oh, still with your glory, Lord. Oh, angels and men adore Jesus. Creation longs for what's in store. Oh, may you be, Lord. Honor and glorify, oh Lord. Exalted and lifted high, Lord. It's here I should be, a lay of my life, oh God. La, 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 hallelujah, oh Lord. We lay our lives at your feet, Jesus. Yes, Lord, we do. We do, Jesus. You're so faithful, Lord. So faithful. Even your word says, Lord, that you know what? When we're faithless, you remain faithful, Lord. For you cannot deny yourself. So tonight we worship you, Lord, for your faithfulness.
You sing great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness.
You never change.
You never change. You never fail, oh God.
See this again. Great is your faithfulness.
Great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness.
Yes, Lord.
You never change. You never fail, oh God.
True are your promises. Sing it now.
True are your promises. True are your promises.
Yes, Lord.
You never fail. Oh, and you never fail, oh God. Oh,
true are your promises.
True are your promises. Oh, Lord, true are your promises.
You never change, Lord.
You never change. You never fail, oh, oh God.
Oh Lord.
So we raise up holy hands. Let's praise the Holy One who was and is and is to come, Lord.
So we raise up holy hands.
So we raise up holy hands. Oh,
is your love? Wide is your love and grace. Wide is your love and grace. You never change, Lord. You never fail, oh God. Oh, wide is your love and grace. Sing it. Wide is your love and grace. Lord, you never change. So we raise holy hands. Let's praise the Holy Ones, who was and is and is to come, Lord. So we raise holy hands to praise our Holy One, who was and is to come. So we raise up holy hands, Lord. So we raise holy hands to praise the Holy One, who was and is. Oh, so we raise holy hands. Praise the Holy One who was, and is, Lord, and is in charge. You were, you are, you were, you are, you will always be. Let's all sing it to Him tonight. Oh, you are Lord Jesus. You will always be. You are Lord Jesus. You will always be. So we raise up holy hands. So we raise up holy hands. To praise our Holy One. Who was and is and is. Say it again. So we raise up holy hands, praise the Holy One. Who was and is and is to come. So we raise up, Lord. So we raise up holy hands. Praise the Holy One, oh Lord, who was and is to come, Lord. So we raise the holy hands and praise the Holy One, Lord, who was and is to come. Just the voice of now. So we raise holy hands to praise the Holy One who was and is to come. Lord Jesus, You're the One. And so we raise up holy hands to praise the Holy One. Yes, Lord, who was and is to come. I want to sing this again as we focus on Him. So we raise up holy hands, Lord, to praise the Holy One who was, yes, Lord, and is to come. And so we raise up holy hands to praise the Holy One who was and is come. Who was and is to come. Jesus, it's You, the One who was and is to come.
Lord, so true, Lord. You're the one who never changed. Your word says that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so, Lord, we await your return. We're so thankful that we are in your family. Tonight, we rejoice in what you have done here in this, Lord, this fellowship. Such amazing things, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you should continue, Father, to do your work in this church amongst the people and their hearts. Father, the families here would be changed and transformed. And, Lord, people will be saved. Lord, you continue to add daily. Lord, we worship you. We adore you. We love you because you're so faithful, Lord. Even when we, Lord, doubt you, even when we're faithless, we continue to remain faithful through the ages. You're awesome. We humble ourselves before you tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God is good. Amen. Yes, can be seated as we continue to really worship the Lord with the song he's given us over the years. And Terry asked us to share a couple songs. And the first one actually goes perfectly in line with what I feel tonight. We're reminded, even by this celebration, that God is faithful. Even as Terry was sharing the struggles going into that tent with the mosquitoes or whatever they are, the wasps or whatever you guys were dealing with. I mean, all the trials, you know, how often, I'm sure you was thinking, man, what am I doing? You know, what am I doing here? And I can't help but think of the story of the pastor who led me to Jesus, my pastor Skip Leitzig right here. When I remember the story you shared that when he was in Albuquerque after 6 months, he said, Lord, I think I'm going back to surfing in California. And I love that story because he said then the Lord reminded him, buddy, you owe me 6 months. You got to stick out here for six more months. And that's in that time that God did this work where Skip didn't have a choice but stay there to be part of what God was doing. And same with Terry, you know, like, man, I'm sure at time he's like, I don't know, I'm going back to wherever he would like. Oh, maybe we're going to go to Colorado, buy some lake somewhere, you know. But when God is faithful, man, even through the trials, he always shows himself strong. Amen. And tonight we want to share this song that God's given us a few years ago. That's on our worship CD called God of Infinite Worth, because he's the one who gets all the praise and the glory. But tonight may you be encouraged. I think the words will be on the screen. But this song is a reminder to me that even though through the years people have always asked me, John, look, you're still single? What's the problem with you, dude? And those of you who know me, every time Skip sees me, John Luke, you still single? You know? And the thing is, I tell people, you know, I just serve God and I allow him to do what he wants to do in my life. He wants to bring me someone. He wants to keep me single. That's his business. But as far as I'm concerned, I want to stay faithful to the call. And I hope that you will, no matter what you're waiting for tonight, just know that if you're just faithful to do what he's called you to do, don't worry about the rest. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Amen? And all these things, wives, husbands, cars, homes, church buildings will be added onto you. Amen. and the wasp will be kicked away. This song is called Faithful.
One, two, three, four.
Here I am to glorify you. To make music to your name. Proclaim your love in the morning. In that night your faithfulness, yeah. To the music of my instrument and the melody of your heart, yeah. With all my heart, with all my soul, I praise the one who made me whole and forevermore faithful. You are faithful, always faithful, faithful as the sun. You are faithful, always faithful, faithful as the sun, Lord. You're the only one. Your mercy, Lord, is in the heavens.
Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Yeah. Your righteousness is like the great mountains. Your judgments are like the great deep, Lord. If I've come this far, it's by your grace. To you be glory, honor, power, and praise. You are faithful, you are faithful, always faithful, faithful as the sun. You are faithful, always faithful, faithful as the sun, Lord. You're the only one. Oh, oh, oh. The only one. Yes, Lord, you are. If I've come this far, it's by your grace. If I've come this far, it's by your grace. Look to you be all the glory, all the honor, the power and the praise. Cause you are faithful, you are faithful, always faithful, faithful as the sun. Yes, you are faithful, always faithful, you're faithful as the sun, Lord. You are faithful, always faithful, faithful as the sun. You are faithful, always faithful, you're faithful as the sun. Yes, you are, Lord. Oh, you're the only one. You're the only one, Lord. Yeah. Amen. Amen. He is a faithful God. Woo. I forgot how dry it is in Texas. I forgot those days in Albuquerque when the throat just dries up. Tonight I'm like, where's California again? But we'll make it through because he's faithful. Amen. Last song we'll play before we take a break and hear some testimonies. I'm looking forward to it. But I'd like for you guys to stand up again. I hate to play yo-yo with you, but this is a song that it's so exciting to think about the fact that one day Jesus is going to come back and take us home. Are you guys excited about that tonight? This is a reality. It says in his word in 1 Thessalonians that one day that trumpet will sound. And when that trumpet sounds, I don't know what it's going to sound like, but I know it's going to be an exciting day because as soon as it sounds, whatever the sound is, we are going up in heaven to be with him. The Bible says forever to be with the Lord. Never anything is going to take that away. No one can separate us, the Bible says, from the love of God. Are you excited about it? I'm so excited about it. Sometimes I'm saying, Lord, right now. So this song is called Maybe, and we have the words on the screen, and hopefully you can actually at least catch on to the chorus. It's very simple. As we sing, maybe tonight we will walk the streets of gold. Think about it. We're going to walk on gold. It's not going to be a big deal, I guess. It's like asphalt up there. But maybe tonight we'll be in heaven. Even tonight, maybe, you know, maybe let's wait, Lord, just right after this for celebration, you know. But maybe right after we're done at night, we'll just go to heaven right away. Would that be cool? Here we go. Let's sing it together. I want everybody to put your hands together. Here we go. The wheels are turning, the pieces are falling into place. This must be history's last page, but I'm ready to go. My valentine day is coming, everything seems to point to your return. Not many are able to discern, but I'm waiting for you. Cause no one knows the day or the hour. Lord, it comes like a thief in the night. Say, maybe tonight we will walk the streets of gold. Maybe tonight we'll be in heaven. Maybe, but I don't know. Maybe tonight. Gazing upon the face of God. Maybe tonight. Nothing else matters. Nothing else matters more. Yeah. I'm persuaded. Each breath is a step closer to you. The only thing worth living for is you. Just to hear you say, well done. It's hard to imagine. Your peers then will hold me when I'm there. The wounds given house of your friends. So you can call me your own. Cause me to follow. Cause me to follow. Lord, not wait for tomorrow. Find me watching when you come. Maybe tonight. Walk the streets of gold. We will walk the streets of gold. Maybe tonight. We'll be in heaven. Well, maybe, but I don't know. Maybe tonight. Gazing upon the face of God. Maybe tonight. Nothing else matters. Nothing else matters more. Find me still. Find me a rest. Find me grounded in your word. Find me alive. Find me alive. Cause maybe tonight. Maybe tonight. We'll walk the streets of gold. We will walk the streets of gold. Maybe tonight. We'll be in heaven. Oh, I know, I don't know. Maybe tonight. Gazing upon. Gazing upon the face of God. Maybe tonight. Nothing else matters. Nothing else matters more. Maybe. Maybe. Maybe soon we'll be 1 million reasons to be found in you, Lord. Maybe, maybe, maybe soon we'll be in heaven. Maybe, maybe, maybe tonight, yeah.
Can I sing this chorus with you tonight? Or you sing with me? I'll sing it anyway, so you sing with me. Maybe tonight.
Maybe tonight.
We'll walk the streets of gold.
We will walk the streets of gold. Maybe tonight. We'll be in heaven. Or maybe, but I don't know. Maybe tonight.
Gazing upon.
Gazing upon the face of God. Maybe tonight. Nothing else matters. Nothing else matters more. Maybe. Maybe. Maybe soon. And we'll be in heaven. Maybe. Maybe. Maybe tonight.
Are you ready for heaven tonight? Amen. God bless you guys. Awesome. Let's continue to celebrate tonight.
The 21st century. It's amazing. It was 4 years ago to the day that we had our first Sunday morning out here. Remember that blue tent? Can you believe we tried that? But we did, and 2 days before our first Sunday, I watched a windstorm come and rip it apart. And I remember being how down we were about it. But come to find out later, people were scared to death to come into that blue tent. And so we ended up having our first Sunday in the gin, and a wonderful tent was provided. And I want to say more about that in just a moment. So we just did the best we could for the last 4 years. We had church. We had motorcycle rallies. We had quinceañeras. We had weddings. We had all kinds of things that we just kept having church. And I will tell you, God is absolutely faithful and has been faithful. And he's never let me down. There were times where I got real down. And the Lord always had his way of picking me back up. And I'll never forget a couple years ago being really down about being in the tent and sort of known as the tent pastor of El Paso. And just being down about it. And my dad gave me a call. And he said he just got a call from somebody, a pastor back, I believe it was, where was that? It was where Katrina hit real hard in New Orleans. And a pastor had just lost his entire church. And he was looking into getting a tent. And he wanted pictures of our tent. So at a time where I was real low and down, the Lord had me out cruising around our tent from every angle, taking snaps, showing the plans, and then getting those on a CD and or emailed off to this pastor who didn't have anything. Wow. We've discovered that it really doesn't matter where you meet, but that you meet. And just all glory to him. And don't ever think that God's left you. Understand that he's always there teaching you through every single thing that you come encounter in your life, making you better and stronger and just showing you wonderful things. I want to thank just a few people before I introduce some special guests. First of all, Jesus. My Lord, my Savior, my best friend. And then I want to thank my very best friend, Kim, my wife, my love of my life. And my three children, Connor, I love you. And Lindsay, I love you. And Dylan, I love you. Thank you for reminding me every single day what matters most, what's most important. I'd like to thank a lot of my family that's come here. My parents are with me, my aunt, my brother, his wife, and their three children. Supporters, there are lots of times I call them up. What am I doing? Hang in there. Hang in there. Hang in there. I'd like to thank the elders at this church and the board of directors at this church. I'd like to thank the staff at this church. A special word of thanks for Bruce Kunkel, who just, wow. And Margaret, who's in the front office now, and Terry Wesson, Doc, back there, our mad scientist on site. Great technician. I would like to also thank previous staff that we've had and have done great work here and have moved on to other things. Cynthia, who was our secretary for many years, thank you. And I think I see Pastor Martin back there. Martin, you were with us in the early years. And you share a lot of this fruit, buddy. And God has gone on to use you in a mighty way in your new church. And we are so excited for you and your fellowship as well. I want to thank all the volunteers, the worship team, and the sound team that set up and tore down for 4 years. Thank you, guys. The children's ministry leaders, they've had VBS in 110 degree weather out here on this property. We've had the sacrifices that have been made have been great. And our children's ministry leaders and volunteers are just dynamite, and I want to thank them for the work that they do. I'd like to thank all those that made tonight possible for the dinner, the meals, and all the logistics. Thank you all for that. So many of you, I can't even name you. Name you all. We have a special sister in our church who doesn't want to be named, and a lot of these guys don't, people don't want to be named by name, so I'm just going to mention them in general, but we had a very special sister in Christ who used her expertise to help us find funding. And she went the extra mile and put a lot of stuff together and kept on track of a lot of details to make this happen. The Lord used her, and so I want to thank her. I want to thank a man who does not want to be mentioned by name. I'll just call him the quarterback. He's been the quarterback of this project. He made this happen here day in and day out. And using his years of 30 years of expertise to do what there was no way that I could have done. And so I want to thank him. And then I want to thank many people who donated. And I don't think they want their names named either, but all the countertops donated, all the bathroom stuff donated. You guys probably already know who I'm talking about, don't you? So many different kinds of things that have been donated here at the church, and God knows who you are, and we serve through. When our blue tent fell apart, 2 days before that happened, a man showed up at our tent. We were trying to get it all ready. And he was real, I'd never met him before, but he was real inquisitive, and he was looking at the tent from every angle. And as I look back now, I can remember him kind of shaking his head like that. And come to find out later, he had been listening to us on the radio, our summons broadcast on the radio. And that particular message, we didn't have a Bible study. We did an interview because we were getting ready to tell everybody we're meeting in the tent our first Sunday. And so he heard that interview. And the Lord wouldn't let him turn off his car. He's way on the east side of town. And right after he heard that, the Lord told him, go see their tent. So he got back in the car, drove all the way to this side of town and looked at the blue tent. And as I said, I remember him just kind of looking at this thing. Our tent crashed. I told the church our first Sunday that I have no idea where we're meeting next week. We might just meet in the dirt. I don't know. On that Tuesday, I got a call from this gentleman, the owner of Tents and Events, who was an expert in tents. He sent a crew of 12 people over who put up the white tent that we had eventually used for 3.5 years. Free. Donated. And, brother, we love you, we appreciate you, and may God bless you, your family, and your business. That's holy ground. That is holy ground. And then I also would like to thank, I'd like to thank Dwayne Thompson's church from Las Cruces, new church plan out there, Calvary Chapel, Three Crosses, who volunteered to have their members come up and watch the children out there so that our parents could just come in and enjoy the service. That was just such a wonderful extension of love. I want to thank all the pastors that have come. You guys have heard my stories every year. Every year at the conference, you're still in the tent? Yeah. I ain't in the tent anymore. Praise God. But we've learned a lot. And again, just thank you guys for being there. Rick was telling me that he would show up in El Paso every now and then. And just every time he would pray, Lord, get Terry out of the tent. And it took so long, but here we are, and thank you. Jim Suttle is a good friend of mine, and he's from Calvary Chapel of Roswell. And Pastor Jim went out to plant his church. Again, we were at the Shepherd School with Pastor Skip in Albuquerque. And he went out to plant his church maybe 10 months before I did, 10 months or a year. And so after we started, he came down and he helped me incorporate, and he's been on our board for a number of years. And so I just wanted him to come and say some encouraging words for us tonight. Would you just welcome Jim? Come on up, Jim.
It is such a privilege to be here tonight. I really am just excited to see what God has done. And Terry, I just got to tell you that I am so glad to share this with you. I think about just what it is. I mean, Terry is a friend. And I say that in a very warm way. I don't have a lot that is as close, and I've enjoyed just our fellowship together. I think it was 14 years ago that we were serving over there at Calvary Chapel Albuquerque as interns and going through the Shepherd School. And boy, I remember some late nights. I remember some late nights and some coffee and just sitting and talking about our calls and talking about what God was doing. And some of those, you know, talks are still in my mind. And then over the last number of 14 years, we've continued just to talk and go over all the things that God has done. And it has been such a joy just to watch what God has done. I truly love your pastor, and I love what God has done here. It's just been a wonderful thing just to watch and just see, and just see God's hand on you all and see God's hand on this church. And I'm just delighted to see that. You know, I think about it, that right now you're transitioning in one sense from different seasons. And it's an interesting thing to think about. You know, we think about creation and the way God did it. And there are seasons in the year, seasons of winter and spring and summer and fall. And there are really seasons to the Christian life. And there are seasons to a church. Seasons where sometimes it's a winter, where it's just dead and it's just cold and God is just doing deep work. And then there are those spring times when it's just new and fresh and exciting. And then there are the summers that just are warm and continuing going. And then there are the falls. That is a change and a time of death, but wonderful. And I think about that and I watch that. I watch it happen in churches. I watch it happen in my life, and I watch it happen here. And it's just been a wonderful thing to watch. And yet I got to confess before you that as I think about that in my life, and I think about it here in this church, it's easier for me to look back and see what God has done than it is to figure out where I am. I don't know if anybody else is that way, but it's like I have a hard time figuring out where I am, but I can look back. And I want to take just a moment just to consider with you what God has done and what he's taught you and where he's brought you. I found myself thinking about what he's done here, and I found myself thinking about what God did and the season that God took King David through. Most of you, I mean, all of you probably know the story. David, a young man, just set apart for the Lord, anointed by Samuel. And those early days must have seemed so exciting. I mean, they're anointed and he takes on Goliath and victory there. And he's beginning to lead troops in Saul's army. And it must have seemed to even his own heart that he was a star that was rising. And then God allowed a different season to come. Through Saul's jealousy, David ends up driven out, and he ends up spending the next 10 years just as a nomad, living in caves and fields and cities for a while and then moving. And then another 7 years in Hebron and over a small part of what God had for him. And yet you look on those 17 years and you understand that God had great things for David. He had another 33 years to serve as king. And yet those 17 years were so key in David's life of shaping his character and all that he would be. In fact, if you have a Bible, you can open up to it. You don't need to. So I'll read it to you. But in Psalm 142, David writes about it. In the inscription above the psalm, it says it's a contemplation of David, a prayer when he was in the cave. And I found myself thinking about it, you know, thinking about David in the cave and Terry in the tent, you know, just kind of fit, and just kind of the whole thing. And he says, I cry out to the Lord with my voice. With my voice to the Lord, I make my supplication. I pour out my complaint before him. I tell him all my trouble. And I think about it, even as Terry shared, I mean, he can tell the stories like nobody can of the birds that flew in and the wasp. And it was just like always a great story. But complaints, and there were times. And even as Terry admitted, they were hard times. For David, they were as well. For the next verse, he says, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me. And there were days for David. In those 10 years when he did try to give up, and yet God pulled him back and God drew him back over and over again. And he goes on to say, in those days, you knew my path You knew what you were doing. You knew what you had. And what a joy that is when you're confused and thinking, I don't know where I am. And yet God does. And God did for David. Many lessons in those 17 years, but perhaps one of the great ones is the one he articulates in this psalm. He says in verse 5, I cried out to you, O Lord. I said, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. If I could say it in a small way, I think one of the lessons for David was that he would rather be in a cave and have the Lord than be in a city without the Lord. And he looks and he says, Lord, I have nothing, but I have you. And it's enough. It's enough. And it was a key lesson. It was a thing already deep in David's heart, but it drove in deep. And it would affect all that he would be and all that he would do, because that's exactly what he would do. See, it would be at the end of those 17 years when David becomes king over all the land of Israel. And he begins to reign and he takes Jerusalem. And then the very first thing he does as he's king is he seeks to bring God's presence back into the center of his people. Oh, let me just tell you just for a second. Let me kind of quickly walk through this story. Most of you know it, but again, understand. In those days, the Ark of the Covenant was the place of God's presence. It was the place where God said, I would meet with you. But here's the crazy thing. It's been absent. See, it was 70, 80 years before that when Eli was priest. And he was there in a spiritual time and a moral time when Israel was in a low place. He was there just working and Israel was going to battle against the Philistines. And they lost. And so they had this crazy idea. They said, let's take the ark. Let's take the ark into the battle. It'll be kind of a good luck charm, you know, and maybe we'll win the battle. And they trusted in the ark, but not the God of the ark. And they lost the battle. And they didn't just lose the battle. They lost the ark. The ark was captured by the Philistines and the Philistines take it into their country. And yet God, in defense of his own name and character, you know, defends that and plagues the Philistines till they finally send it back. And they do. But it ends up after a series of events up in Kiriath-Jearim. Up in the mountains. And here's the crazy thing. There it stays. All the days of Samuel, is Samuel leading as a judge and a priest. And all the days of Saul, there it stays. 70, 80 years they have that. Now, track with me for a moment. All that time, as we put things together, we find out that the tabernacle, which was, well, God's prescribed tent for his people, which eventually transitioned into a building, which is, again, good. But God's prescribed tabernacle, and it was a place where he was going to meet with them. And most of you, again, have a little understanding of this. In that tabernacle, there was the center place, the Holy of Holies, where the ark would be. Before that, there was the holy place where there was the menorah and the table of showbread and the altar of incense. And outside of that, just other articles. And here's what I want you to clearly understand. Everything that was about the tabernacle was God. It was meant to be how you draw near to the Lord. It was designed to be so that everything you did was a pressing closer to God's presence. Everything was about drawing near to the Lord. But here's the crazy thing. For 70 years, for all we can read and understand, they went through the motions. They're in Gibeon. They go through the daily sacrifices, morning and evening. They light the menorah. They burn the incense. And God's not there. And his presence isn't there. And the horrible reality was that people were satisfied with that. They were satisfied with going through the motions without the reality. Now, I again just draw this to you very, very quickly. The sad thing is that happens in a lot of churches. That can happen in a lot of churches that are satisfied with just doing church, satisfied with just coming and singing some songs and saying some words and then leaving without ever knowing God's presence. That wasn't David. First thing David does is he comes back into the land and says, no, I'm going to do this. I'm going to bring the ark back to the center of the people. And again, I'm just going to read one more psalm to you and I'll close with that. In Psalm 132, as he writes it, says this, Lord, remember David and all his afflictions, how he swore to the Lord and vowed to the mighty one of Jacob. Surely I will not go into the chamber of my house or go up into the comfort of my bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling place for the mighty one of Jacob. Behold, we've heard of it in Ephrathah. We found it in the fields and the woods. They found it in Kiriath-Jearim. They went and they found the ark and where it was. And then David says, let us go. Let's go into his tabernacle and let us worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, to your resting place. That was David's call. That's my prayer. That's my prayer right now as I stand here and I think about what you've learned in the last 4 years. I'm sure there were many lessons. I'm sure there were many things. But I look at a group of people that a building wasn't what it was about. It really was about, you know, if we have to meet in a tent to draw near to the Lord, that's fine. I'd rather be in a cave with the Lord than in a building without him. I'd rather be there than that. And that was David's heart. That was my heart here. And David goes on to say the blessings that will come upon that. And I'm just going to pray these in a moment for you. He says, you know, this will be God's resting place. And God says, when he's there, he says, I will abundantly bless her provision. And I'm praying that for you guys. I'm praying he just pour out his blessings upon this church in great ways and just continue to see all that he has. He says, I will satisfy her poor with bread. And I think about that in a spiritual way, the poor in spirit. I pray that those who come into this place would be satisfied with the Lord. And then he goes on to say that I will clothe her priests with salvation. And I pray that God would just anoint and bless and pour out salvation here in great ways and see many, many turn to Christ. And he says his saints will shout for joy. And he says, there I will make the horn of David grow. And I just give it to you briefly. That's Jesus. That's the glory of the Lord. He says, that's what it's going to be about. That's what it is. And that is my just encouragement to you guys, because you have been an encouragement to me. Just to see what God has done in you, to see the lessons he's taught you, to see you come week after week through trials, through storms and the craziest of things. But you learned in those times, you know, I'd rather be in a tent with the Lord than to be in a building that was perfect without the Lord. May the Lord just bless that here. Would you just allow me to pray for you that? Father, we just thank you so much. You are faithful in the seasons that you bring us through. Lord, you know the path that you have for us. I think about that right now for this church. I think about all that they've learned and just the wonder of what it's needed just to draw near to you, that that's what this is about. It's about you. It's about loving you and knowing you. And I pray that you would just bless this building, that you would, even as David said, arise, O Lord, and make this a resting place. Make this a place where people meet with you consistently and constantly. Make it a place that you pour out your blessing upon. Make it a place, Lord, that those who are poor in spirit are satisfied. Make it a place, Lord, where just day after day, week after week, you clothe with salvation and bring so many to you. Make it a place, Lord, that your saints sing for joy. But always, Lord, make it all about you. Lord, we just pray that. We are so thankful for the lessons. So thankful for all that you've taken Terry through and this church through. And now we're excited to see the new season, to see what's in store next. And we just pray that, Lord, you would make this your resting place. In Jesus' name, amen.
One of our favorite people to listen to on the radio is Pancho Juarez, right? We love to hear Pancho here in El Paso. And he's been doing radio rallies out here for some years. And a few years back, I got to meet Pancho at a radio rally event. Just loved him right away. Just loved him right away. And felt his love for me. And when we were even out thinking about buying this property, or maybe it was right after we bought the property, Pancho was here in town and he made it a point. He said, Terry, come on, let's go walk around the property and let's pray. And you remember that? You prayed for the property. And I just know you really love us and you've been praying for us and you come and you've done it. It's been great to do outreaches with you. And he's had his pastoral staff here and church members here because they do lots of radio rallies in this area, and we love you guys. Lauren and Mark and Pancho's wife Millie is even with us. Would you let's welcome Millie. Pancho, come share.
Thank you, Terry. Thank you so much. I'm just here as a participant. Thank you so kindly. I'm here as a participant. Calvary Chapel here has defied the statistics. No, I'm all serious. According to the census that was taken, there are three qualities in a church. If they asked a group of people, what do you look for in a church? There's three things you have to do. Number one, you have to have sufficient parking. Number two, You have to have a clean nursery. And number three, you have to have clean bathrooms. You defied everything. I've been here. I remember when we started in Montebello Calvary Chapel in East Los Angeles. We started in a barn, literally a barn. And then we moved to the high school. And for 3 years, the same people there, they are credited for moving and tearing down, tearing up. I used to call them the Kohites, because those were the people that moved the tent with Moses. Every time God moved, they moved. They broke it down. It's like a circus, like a tent. And they broke down and they moved whatever God led them for 40 years. And so I remember that we were given the right hand of fellowship July the 12th, 1992. And it was similar like this event here. People were very gay. That's a Webster's Dictionary term. They were happy. There was a buzz going on. People were excited. And I was very gay in Webster's Dictionary. And because I want to get that name back, man. You know, that's, we're happy people, man. And so my pastor came and we were all happy. And he started by saying, "You respect Pancho and Millie. Some of you here are going to backstab them." And I'm thinking, this is a joyful day, dude. This is a joy. Why are you talking like that? Well, you see, his tenure, his experience spoke volumes that day. And I shared with you, support your pastor. Don't look at Kim as the epitome of the right, perfect wife. She's a mother. She's a mother first. Let her be a mother. Don't look at her and say, "Oh, she's not perfect." Of course she's not. Look at yourself. You're not perfect either. Don't look at your pastor. Support him. God has chosen this franchise people. Broken people. Perforated people. God has chosen goofy people. So that the glory may be of God. You know, you defied everything. I remember when Terry was before Terry, he bought this building from California. He says they won $350,000 for a Californian. I said, "That's chump change, man." We paid for a small building. We paid $2.5 million for nothing. And I come here, and he's out there walking around moping $350,000. I'm thinking, dude, I'll buy it for you. We've got to get this gin, man. And I've seen God just working and working to Terry. And there's nothing about Terry other than he's just an instrument. And I pray that you may support your pastor, not only in the blah, 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 but from here. And if you're ever going to talk about the grace, talk about them when you're on your knees. Because there's nothing worse than criticism. I leave you with this. It's not all the time where I'm able to bring our church administrator and executive pastor and my wife and myself. It's very rare. Pastor Mark just got back from Peru. He just got back a day and a half ago, yeah? From Peru. We had an outreach in Peru, just like the kind of outreach we had here. We go out and minister to people and never expecting nothing from you. I never came here and asked nothing from you. In fact, I have the ability to have resources because God has blessed us. And that's all we wanted to do. And I'm here. My wife is here. We're just here in awe of a great God. We're a bunch of nobodies exalting somebody. And that's what I'm here. God bless you. Love you.
Man. Thanks, Bunch. Myself. The two musicians out here. Jim Subtle. All come from the same church.
a home church, Calvary of Albuquerque, where we all fell in love with Jesus Christ and fell in love with the ministry. And Pastor Skip's been a huge part of my life. And I'm very, very honored and privileged to have him dedicate now this sanctuary unto the Lord. So come on up. Share with us your courage.
Well, this is the first time I've ever heard that Pancho is gay. The things you find out at church. I couldn't wait to say that. As soon as I heard, I thought, I know what I'm going to say. I've got a message from heaven. Hey, listen. I am truly honored to share this moment with you. And Terry, Kim. Kim used to work at our church as a secretary. And Terry was in our first school of ministry, and then our shepherd school. And, you know, you see some people from time to time, and you just know that God's going to do something with them. And I saw your pastor, and I thought, I know that God has something great in store for him. And I could tell he just had a knack. He had a giftedness. He had a way about him and a passion to serve the Lord that took him to El Paso. The Lord called him here. The Lord had to have called you here. And like the Lord calls anybody anywhere, it has to be a calling. And only God's calling could keep you through all of this time. And you know, as I was just listening to you and been around you the last few hours, you're a better, deeper man, couple, for what you've gone through. Now, the Feast of Tabernacles lasted only 8 days. You've managed to carry it out into 4 years, where they lived in tents. And the idea of they would spend a week out in a tent and they would appreciate how God provided for their fathers in the wilderness. You know, something you may want to think about is get once a year on one day, just get everybody back in the tent and remember what it was like. O Lord of hosts, my soul longs. Yes. Even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home. And the wasp, a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, they will still be praising you. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca. Now, you know, the Bible wasn't written in Spanish. So this doesn't mean cow. It means something completely different. They make it a spring. And the rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. O God, behold our shield and look upon the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. Now, there was a husband and a wife. It was Sunday morning. They were supposed to get out of bed, go to church. Wife got up, got dressed, ready to go. Husband lounging around, not wanting to go, just not getting dressed, not interested. And his wife noticed this and said, honey, it's almost time for church. We got to go. He says, I'm not going. She said, you're not going? Why? He said, well, I've got my reasons. Number one, I think this church is cold. uncaring. Number two, nobody likes me there. Number three, I just don't feel like going. She said, well, now let me give you three reasons why you ought to go. Number one, it's a warm and friendly church. Number two, I can think of a few people who like you. And number three, you are the pastor, honey. So get up and let's go. Right? Isn't that what happened to you, Terry? No. You know, for a lot of people, church is something you have to do. For some people, it's not something they want to do. It's something they had to do. I grew up in a Catholic church and we called it our Sunday obligation. Have you met your Sunday obligation? You were obliged to do it. It was your duty to do it. It was nothing we ever wanted to do. And for so many people, going to church is boring. Like the 7-year-old boy, he was in Sunday school. And he piped up right in the middle of the Sunday school lesson and said, could you hurry up? This is boring. And a little girl next to him ripped him in the rib cage and said, shut up. It's church. It's supposed to be boring. Well, we just read a psalm. And if I could phrase it by paraphrasing what this is all about, here's somebody saying, I can't wait to go to church. And when God changes a life and touches a heart and reconstitutes an entire life, that person can't wait to be in God's presence with God's people. When my wife was first saved, she was raised an atheist. I was raised a Catholic. She was raised an atheist. When she came to Christ and we were going to Calvary Chapel in Costa Mesa, she would go every single night of the week because there was a meeting every single night. I couldn't get a date with her. She had a date every night with Jesus. But she just so couldn't wait to be there and wanted to be a part of it. And Psalm 84 is a psalm written by, it says, the sons of Korah. Somebody who was writing about going, making a pilgrimage to the tabernacle, to the temple later on in Jerusalem. And somebody who couldn't wait to be there. In fact, even the pilgrimage, he calls it, the trip itself, was something exciting to him, even though it was a long walk. Now, as I read through Psalm 84, there's something that always comes to my mind first when I read it. My first trip to India was an eye-opener. It was an eye-opener because of the way Christians treat church in that country. The very first time I went, I walked into this building. I was going to teach my first cross-cultural experience in that country. I was with my interpreter, and he started telling me about these people as they were trickling in. He says, you know, these people, most of them either bicycle, many of them walk, and they'll walk for hours, hours to come here. So he said, don't think that you can get by with just an hour sermon. Now, I'm a pastor. I go, really? You mean I can talk longer? And he said, I did one message and I was ready to go. And he looked at me and goes, you're not done yet. Oh, no, you're just beginning. And I think I preached three sermons in a row. Because if they walked to church and they had to walk back home, that was their day. They were so excited about it. Now, this psalmist opens up talking about the place that he's going to go and worship. He says, how lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs and even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Now, you might ask, what's so great about a tent? What was so great about this guy longing to be at the tabernacle, which was essentially a tent? Or later on, a temple. What's so great about the place? Stephen said, the Lord does not dwell in temples made with hands. Even Solomon, the guy who built the first temple, said, look, even the heaven of heavens can't contain God, much less this house that I have built. Well, it's not about the place, as has already been mentioned a few times. What caused this person longing to go to this place is what was going to happen when he got there. This is the place where we're all corporately going to meet God. And so he said, "My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God." That's what we do when we come here, isn't it? We cry out for the living God. We don't want to just do church. We don't want to just go through a ritual and have music and something from the Bible and meeting and greeting. We want to encounter the living God, or it's not worth it. You know, it's like this. What makes a house a home? Oh, that a cool microwave oven makes a house into a home. Or three-car garage, that makes a house. No, it doesn't. You know better. You know what makes a house a home. It's the people who live there. It's the relationships you have there. I love when I come home in the evening. My best part of the day is coming home in the evening and just sitting down with my wife and going over the day. And if my son comes through, he's not living with us anymore, but when he comes through, it's heaven. Relationships turn a house into a home. Well, if you love him, that's what makes a church a church. It's the relationships you have with God personally and with each other corporately. And when you fall in love with Jesus, it's, I can't wait to come to church. Can't wait. Now that translates into faithfulness. And let me say just a word about that as a visiting pastor. Just as Pancho was able to talk to you about personally viewing the Grays and looking at them, praying for them. Let me just say a word about faithfulness, because pastors love to talk about people in the church being faithful. Be faithful to the Lord in coming as often as is humanly possible. Not just for his sake, but for your sake. For the relationship you have with Christ and with his church, so that you will continually stay rooted and grounded, reminded of God's goodness. Let me read this to you, written by a pastor. Listen to how well thought out it is. He said, "All that I ask is we apply the same standards of faithfulness to our church activities that we would in other areas of our life." That doesn't seem too much to ask. The church, after all, is concerned about faithfulness. Consider these examples. If your car started 1 out of 3 times, would you consider it faithful? If the paper boy skipped Mondays and Thursdays, would he be missed? If you didn't show up at work 2 or 3 times a month, would your boss call you faithful? If your refrigerator quit a day now and then, would you excuse it and say, "Oh, well, it works most of the time"? If your water heater greets you with cold water 1 or 2 mornings a week while you're in the shower, would it be faithful? If you miss a couple of mortgage payments in a year's time, would your mortgage holder say, "Oh, well, 10 out of 12 ain't bad"? And if you attend worship meetings only often enough to show you're interested, but not often enough to get involved, are you faithful? Here's a guy saying, "I can't wait to get to church." That's the place of worship. The next couple of verses tell us the peace of worship. Listen to this. "For even the sparrow has found a home." Now, this, of course, means so much more to you. "And the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you." Did you know that in the Bible, sparrows are considered pretty worthless, pretty valueless? And the idea is that even these common birds, and some of no value at all, are welcome. Find a place near the courts of God. In the New Testament, Jesus even mentions this. It would seem that boys in Jerusalem could sell sparrows and make chump change, a few pennies from it. He said, "Aren't a couple of sparrows sold for pennies, a farthing, a little coin?" And yet Jesus said, not one of them falls to the ground unless your Heavenly Father knows it and wills it. Don't be afraid. You are more valuable than many sparrows. So here's the idea. If sparrows can come to church and find a place there in the tabernacle, in the temple, God will welcome anyone. And maybe it is that from time to time, or even now, you feel worthless, valueless. Understand something. You're not. That's a lie. You are so valuable to God. Well, you're valuable enough for Him to send His Son to die for your sins, to make sure that you were His child. That's how much you're worth to Him. You know what it's like? It's like when you have kids. Your children can't paint a bad picture, can they? Now, it might not be sold in a museum, but when they bring it home, it's like, wow. Picasso couldn't come close. That's going up on the refrigerator forever. Just like your children can't paint you a bad picture, you can't utter a bad prayer. And somebody might listen and go, boy, that was lame. God would go, shut up. I love it. I love it. That's my kid. So even a sparrow can find a place for a nest. Now, I mentioned swallows here. Interesting. Swallows aren't considered worthless birds. They're considered restless birds. If you've ever seen swallows, and they have been a lot of places, they come every year to San Juan Capistrano, down to the mission. They have small wings, but they're always busy, always flying, never resting. Here it says they come to rest in the temple, in the tabernacle. It's a picture of that which is worthless finding worth in God, that which is restless, or we who are restless, finding our rest in God. I think it was St. Augustine who said, we are restless until we find our rest in Thee. Now, something interesting, trivia for all of you swallow buffs. Swallows will settle down when they find a family. When it's mating season and they're going to build a nest and find a family, get the family together, they rest. And something else they do, they sing this beautiful, low, sweet-toned song. It speaks of peacefulness and rest. True story, a couple down from Moody Bible Institute in Chicago went down to Mexico to outreach to the coal Indians. They spent 25 years, John and Elaine Beekman spent 25 years translating the Bible into the coal language. When they went there, there was not a single believer. They translated the Bible. Today there's over 12,000 believers in that part of the Indian section of Mexico where the coal tribe is. And they noticed something when they went down to preach the gospel to this tribal area that they didn't sing. It wasn't in their culture. They had no songs. Nobody could sing. But the missionaries came in, taught them songs, led them to Christ, so that believers, brand new believers, were known in the outlying areas as the singers. Something happened to them. They're singing. And as I said, today there's over 12,000 believers who are singing. They're at rest. They're at peace. Now they have something to really sing about. So, what's the value of coming to church? It reminds us we're so valuable to God and that we have rest here. It changes our perspective. Now, he didn't stop with that. He didn't just talk about the place of worship and the peace of worship. He talks about the pilgrimage of worship, what it's like even going to the temple. And he says something in these verses. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. They pass through the valley of Baca, not Baca, Baca. They make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. If you are coming to Jerusalem, say from the north, Jerusalem is 2,600 feet above sea level. The Dead Sea is 1,290 feet below sea level. It's a sharp, steep climb upward from the very dry area, the desert, the area of the Dead Sea. Now, the Valley of Baca, sometimes it's translated the Valley of Tears or Weeping, because there's this weird little plant that grows out in the desert called the balsam plant, and they call it the weeper. That, though it's completely dry, it exudes little drops of water from it. So here it is in the middle of absolute desolation, and it's being watered, and water is even dripping from it. So in the Valley of Tears, it says, they make it a spring. It's a poetic description of passing through difficult times and finding refreshment in it. Now, here's a typical week or month for a lot of us. We come to church, we sing the songs, we get pumped up, we get our sights readjusted, then we go back to the real world, as we call it. That's not the world. This is the really real world, the spiritual world. But we go back to the real world and we face dryness, trials, struggles, temptations, hardships, maybe even on the way to church tonight, on the pilgrimage. Flat tire, crosswords with your wife or husband or children or all the above. On the way itself. Now, true worshipers aren't stopped or dissuaded by the hardships. They're not going to be slowed down. In fact, it says they make it a spring. They turn that hardship itself into a spring. You have managed to do that. Listen, you deserve the award of the most persevering church that I know of in the United States for being in that tent for 4 years. You came. You did it. You got the t-shirt. I saw it. You have managed to make the Valley of Baca refreshing, a spring. You know, I've noticed something about Christians in handling trials. We tend to go through them one of two different ways. Number one is compensation, I'm going to call it. Number two is transformation. Let me explain. A lot of Christians go through trials like this. They go through the hardships of life. Grit my teeth. Hold on. I'm just going to get through it because heaven's coming. It's compensation. In other words, there's coming a compensatory payoff one day. One day all the hardships are gone, and so let's sing about heaven. That's compensation. There's a better way. Not compensation. Transformation. Turn the very place of desolation, barrenness, hardship into a place of refreshment. It says they make it a spring. Remember Jacob when he was running from home and he was in the middle of the desert and he went to sleep one night and he saw that vision of the angels of God descending and ascending on the ladder. He woke up the next day and he sensed something very revealing. He said, surely God is in this place. And I knew it not. Not the Lord was in this place. He's in this place. And I knew it not. I know it now, but I knew it not. It's when you and I are able to, in our hardship, in our struggle, in our barren, dry spot, say, the Lord is in this place of physical suffering, this place of mental exhaustion, this place of spiritual turmoil. The Lord's here, man. I'm going to tap into this now. Because when I got here last night, I didn't think God was in this God-forsaken place. That's what Jacob thought. That's what he thought. There was nothing to suggest God to him. There was no beauty. It was barrenness. There was no tabernacle, no temple, no altar. But he said, the Lord is in this place. Quick story. Have you ever heard, I'm going to just show of hands. Have any of you ever heard of a place in South Dakota called Wall Drug? Raise your hand. Wall Drug. Okay, I see a few hands. I know it's far away from here. The further back there you get, more people hear about it. Let me tell you an awesome story. 1932, Ted and Dorothy Husted owned this little drugstore in a tiny little town called Wall, South Dakota. It was a bad year. There was a drought. Grasshoppers ate the crops. Over 100 degrees for months. I know that's normal here, but there it's weird. They were about ready to shut down their drugstore. And so they got together. They were believers in Christ and they prayed. They thought, what can we do to get customers? So they did something really, really odd. They went 25 miles outside of town and put up a sign. Free ice water. Wall Drugstore, Wall, South Dakota. And then they dug it so much, they went in a little bit, 10 miles, and said, 10 more miles, free ice, free water. And 5 miles in, free water. You're almost there. Now, this wasn't new. Drugstores had been giving free ice water for years. But they're the first ones to advertise it. And people thought, these signs are weird. I'm going to check it out. They got so much into these signs, I kid you not, they went to Albany, New York, and they put a sign. Only 1,725 miles to Wall Drug, Wall, South Dakota. Now today, and I've seen some of them, you can go to London and find a sign to Wall Drugstore. They're all over the world. Now, if you went today in the summertime to that little town of Wall, South Dakota, has 800 people that live in the town. There's an average of 15,000 people per day in the summer that visit the drugstore. Here's my point. Pain is inevitable. Misery is optional. We all go through times of pain and suffering and hardship and heartache and trials, etc. That's inevitable. But misery is optional. You can say, I'm going to take this thing and make this the place of refreshment, my altar, my place of worship. God is in this place. Then he closes off the psalm, and I've taken up enough of your time. The preference of the worshiper, he ends by saying, for a day in your courts is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. A doorkeeper. That didn't sound like a great job. What do you do? I'm a doorkeeper. But I'm a doorkeeper in God's house. Now, you know why this guy's so excited about his job? This task, this menial task of being a doorkeeper in God's house? Doorkeepers are the first one in and the last ones out in the Holy Assembly. They get to linger. They get to hang out longer in God's presence than just those who come into the temple, plop down a sacrifice, and leave. I'm a doorkeeper, man. Now, here's my point. Menial tasks take on a whole new meaning when you're in a love relationship. Menial tasks. When I was single, I was pretty much a slob. I haven't gotten a whole lot better, but I was really a slob back then. I was living in Huntington Beach. I was single. There were fleas in my carpet. I'd leave food outside like for days at a time and just come back home in the evening and eat what was ever there. And it got me ready for the mission field. But I remember the night my girlfriend, who's now my wife, was coming over to visit. I was like Mr. Clean. I dusted, I vacuumed, I polished. Because those tasks that at other times would just be menial tasks took on a whole new complexion because I was in love. Whatever task you have, whatever area of service that God is calling you in this fellowship to be faithful in, if even though it's hard, you make that your altar and you say, I get to be a doorkeeper in God's house. I get to linger longer. I'm going to make this area of service, this menial task, it's going to take on a whole new dimension because I love Jesus. I do have a concern with every church. I love the fact that you persevered for 4 years. You are a special breed of people because this building, you appreciate everything. There's carpet. What's that cool breeze? Oh, I remember, that's air conditioning. Everything is so appreciated. But time's going to move on. You're going to get used to it. And it could become business as usual. You can't let that happen. There's a researcher back in Wisconsin named Harry F. Harlow, Dr. Harlow, University of Wisconsin, was experimenting, a sociology experiment with baby monkeys. He had them in cages. And what he noticed is that baby monkeys in cages that had little cloth pads at the bottom of the cages seemed to be emotionally attached to these cloth pads. It was odd how they would sit around and cuddle these cloth pads like kids do a teddy bear. So what he decided to do is some experiments. He took and he made a little ingenious surrogate mother out of wire mesh, put terry cloth around the outside of it, a light bulb inside to radiate warmth, and a little rubber nipple on the front attached to a milk source so the baby monkeys could come and nurse. And he noticed the monkeys came and nursed and then perched on that surrogate mother and cuddled up to the warmth and treated it like a real entity. And so the good doctor decided to take these 8 baby monkeys and had that one terry cloth mother, and then he made another one out of just wire mesh, no cloth at all, no light bulb, just a wire mesh monkey with a feeding source, a nipple, and milk attached to it. And he noticed that the 4 monkeys that were forced to drink from the wire mesh mother did so. The 4 that were forced to eat from the terry cloth mother did so, but all of them, after feeding, spent all of their time around the terry cloth warm mother. All 16 to 18 hours a day, all waking moments. The doctor wrote this: "We were not surprised that contact comfort was an important basic affection or love variable, but we did not expect it to be so completely overshadowing the variable of nursing. Indeed, the disparity is so great as to suggest the primary factor of nursing is that of ensuring frequent, intimate body contact of the infant with the mother." Get what he's saying? It's not about just coming and getting a good meal. It's the contact. They want relationship. Even monkeys. Here's my point. Let's never turn into wire meshed Christians where we only come to get the food, get the meal, get the sermon, give. But rather to build relationship with each other. We need the warm fuzzies. We need the touch, the honesty, the integrity, the camaraderie with each other and with God. You're going to get well fed. I know this man. And I know this woman. But then with that feeding, love one another and love God with all your heart. Heavenly Father, we dedicate this church to you, knowing that it is not drywall and carpet and ceiling tiles and air conditioning units. We thank you for these. It's a blessing from you. Lord, we know that to dedicate a church is to dedicate its people who are the church and meet in this building where they're housed. Lord, I pray that there would be the same excitement, the same peace, the same welcomeness for those who feel restless and worthless. I pray that even the pilgrimage itself would be exciting. We'd say, I can't wait to get to church. And Father, further and finally, I pray that the warm, deep, honest relationships, the kind that are satisfying, the kind we walk away from and feel accepted and loved, would just overflow here in this fellowship. May our relationship with you be deep and meaningful and worshipful, and with each other pure and open. In Jesus' name, amen.
Awesome.
Let's stand up. And the cry, why don't you come back up? Lots of praising and worship. Lots of praise goes out tonight for all that God has done.
Let's sing some more, brother.
My soul, my Savior.
God, Susie, how great thou art, how great thou art, how great thou art, Lord, how great thou art. There's no one like you, Jesus, and sing my soul, and sings my soul, Lord, my Savior, God, to thee. How great, how great thou art, Jesus, how great thou art, so great, hallelujah, Jesus, how great thou art, Lord, it's all about you, for your glory, Lord, for your glory alone, Jesus. Yes, amen. God is good, amen. Let's give him praise tonight.
Thank all of you for coming and joining in the celebration. My special guests, Skip and Jim and Poncho, thanks for coming. Thanks to you. And the cry, thank you. They're going to be with us on Sunday morning, and they're going to be over at Charlie's place tomorrow night. So they're here all weekend ministering in here in El Paso. I'd really like to do one more song, but before we do that, I just want you guys to know that every time we meet, the Word of God will go forth. Amen. We will read from the Bible. We will preach the Bible. Amen. We will also make it possible every time we meet for your friends to come to Christ. We will have an opportunity for conversions to take place here. And we'll see many. Amen? Amen. And we'll also worship the Lord together every time we're together. And build those very important relationships that we need to have with one another. Amen? Amen. Take us home. There you
go. We all know this song so well. We need to sing it out as we sing, Blessed be your name, the name of the Lord.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where the streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name.
Blessed be the name.
Blessed be your name. Where I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness, blessed be your name.
In every blessing you pour out,
every blessing you pour out, I turn back to praise. Always, oh, when the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name, your name, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glory.
Blessed be your name.
Blessed be your name. Where the sun is shining down on me, where the world is all as it should be, blessed be your name.
Blessed be your name.
Blessed be your name. Although marked with suffering, when the spirit of the offering, Lord, blessed be your name, blessed be your name, Lord. Every blessing that you pour out, I turn back to pray. Always, but when the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name, your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name, your name, Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your holy name. Lord, you give us a way. You give us a way. You give us a way. To say, sing it to him. Blessed, blessed be, blessed be, Lord. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart, returns to say, Lord Jesus, blessed be your name. Blessed, Lord, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. The Lord Jesus, blessed be your name forevermore. Sing it out. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Lord, blessed be your name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Your name. Blessed be your name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Sing it again. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name. Jesus, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Your glorious name. Your glorious name. Blessed be, Lord, your glorious name. Blessed be your name. Lord, we pray that you would truly be glorified in this church, Lord, all through the years. Blessed be your name, Lord Jesus. Blessed be your name. Give him a praise offering tonight. Praise you, Lord. Amen. God bless you all.
Awesome. Lots of coffee and cake out in the tent. If you haven't seen this tent, then go see it right after the service. Coffee, cake, fellowship, hang out, enjoy. God bless you.